What's up, everyone? It is Pass the Mic. We're here Thursday, October 12th. A little Birds pregame action. Mike O'Neill here, joined with Briggs as always. Briggs, what's up, man?
Doing good. I'm excited. I'm not usually a Thursday night football fan, but when your team plays on Thursday night, I think it makes it somewhat acceptable. So I'm pumped for some Thursday night football. Should be hopefully a good game. Bad weather in Carolina, though, could make things pretty interesting tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. It's good. I mean, a lot of the matchups so far for Thursday night football have been underwhelming, but I think, you know, the NFL's got to be happy with the Eagles and Panthers 4-1 going at it. So yeah, we're going to touch on obviously the game. We'll talk a little bit about the Cardinals game, but that's in the past. We're already on to the next week, obviously, because the game's in about 2 hours. So yeah, we're going to talk about that, but before we get there, we're going to talk about the Sixers. Two big news items, I guess, both centered around the process, Joel Embiid. So on Tuesday, Embiid inked a 5-year, $148.5 million contract. Quite the extension. We'll get into the details of the contract. But additionally, you know, with that came Embiid playing yesterday and playing quite well, I would have to say. So magically, his injury bug went away. He was cleared to play 5-on-5 after he got paid. And boy, did he not disappoint. So why don't we start there, Mike? What are your thoughts on, I guess let's do it twofold. First, contract. We'll talk about the contract for a little bit, and then we'll get to the game.
Well, before I even talk about the contract, it's good that we learned that he wasn't hurt. He wasn't hurt. It was obviously all about the contract. Because it, like you just stated, he miraculously became healthy and ready to play 5-on-5 the next, you know, 2 days later. That makes me feel really good. So that means he's probably been able to play for the last 2 months, but they've probably been negotiating this contract, which is just really strong because that means he is actually healthy.
Yeah.
Second, on the contract, I think that me and you both agreed, and I think we talked about it on a previous podcast, you have to sign him. You can't not sign him just based on his absolute potential on being a top three player in the NBA. And I wanted something closer to 4 years, $80 million, because I was hoping that we could get
not that close to 4 years, no, $80 million.
It's not even anywhere near that. It's pretty much double that. So I was a little upset on that because, you know, when Steph Curry had his injury problems, he signed for the Warriors for 4 years, $44 million. So I was like, all right, even if we got double that salary, we would still be okay. But they protected themselves in the contract with injury clauses somewhat. And I just think that when you have an opportunity to lock down a player like that, you don't want him to become a restricted free agent where another team can make an offer and you're forced, you know, your hand is forced. I'm happy they signed him. We can kind of look past all the injuries. He's here for 5 years. And
yeah, absolutely. I think we both kind of, everyone had the initial reaction to, you know, just the size of the contract. But once you hear about the protections, I think it's like if he misses 25 or more games, they have the right to waive his salary against the cap. So yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, right, you don't do this unless the guy has the potential to be a transcendent player. You hear and see when you hear people talk about Embiid and then obviously watch him play. He's not a, you know, potential, he's not just a potential all-star. He's a potential franchise-changing, league-changing player. And I think that's why you lock him up for this deal. And that's why it seems to be, you know, just a win-win on both sides. And I think both sides, you know, were probably very diligent in the contract talks, spent a lot of time talking about it. And then, yeah, I mean, like you said, you have 5 years of Joel Embiid. He's very happy to be here. And then obviously, you know, everyone wanted to see him on the court last night after the contract. And he certainly didn't disappoint. And he obviously showed why he is worth every penny of that contract if he's healthy.
he watching him on the court, he's just so natural for someone who hasn't played basketball for more than, what, 6 years now? 7 years?
It was his first time in a game, right? Like in an official preseason game, summer league, whatever, in 257 days. He immediately stepped on the court and was hands down the best player.
Not even close. And when you say transcendent player, what people need to realize is Embiid is so talented, so big and unstoppable in the low post that you had the Jordan era. You moved into the Kobe Shaq era to the LeBron era. You could be looking at the Embiid era.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. And the big thing about Embiid, right, and you saw it on display this game, if he plays 30 minutes, he may go to the line 25 times.
It's unreal because, well, teams don't have people. So unless you go against a team with a Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis, maybe a Jokic, like those teams have all big men. They kind of play old school basketball. Maybe a Drummond, a Sam Whiteside. Like those teams may be able to slow him down somewhat in the post. But teams that go up and play small ball are going to send him to the line nonstop. And he's just continued to work on it. He shot at 78% last year. He went 14 of 18 last night. If he can continue to shoot around 80%, you can't hack a Shaq him.
Exactly. You can't hack a Shaq him, but you also – it's like you may have to hack a Shaq him if you can't stop him. It's like, okay, I'll take, you know, 8 out of 10 points instead of just 5 twos that he makes.
Exactly. And then he showed on display his ability to pass. He had a great dish to Ben Simmons on a V-cut that Ben Simmons had. He showed his outside shooting ability. He hit a three again. He showed how much his defense helps and his help defense on one of the blocks down low. But just overall, his energy. The team knows that they can win with him on the court, and it makes everybody's mindset different.
If Embiid didn't play yesterday, the Sixers probably lose by 15.
Maybe 30, because they started super slow again.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just his energy's contagious, his talent's undeniable, and I think everyone's really happy that he's on the court and he's ready to make a substantial impact on the team this year.
And if he's on the court – I know I was texting the group last week after seeing the Sixers play a couple of these preseason games. I guess we haven't really talked any bit. Fultz didn't play. So we didn't get any chance to see Simmons and being Fultz play together, which is hopefully the future.
Yeah, I think Fultz actually, so I've been reading about it, and there's been a lot of criticism in the media about his shot and everything. He's hurt. I think his shoulder's hurt. There's been a lot of chatter about his free throw stroke. I've read that, you know, he actually adjusted it because of pain he was feeling in his shoulder. But I went back and watched summer league tapes. His shot was fine in summer league. Like, I don't know how it changed so much in a month, but I think when he gets back to that shot, he'll be fine. I'm not that worried about him.
I'm not worried about his shot. I am confused as to why it's at all changing. Like, if he's not healthy, then just rest him. Like,
He had tape on his shoulder in the last game he played. I don't know. I mean, just rest the guy. He's also only 19. Like, he's never – like, I don't think we ever needed him to be the number one guy, third guy. So, I think all the – I'm just – my PSA for Markelle Fultz is we've been super patient with Embiid and Simmons. I think we can be a little bit patient with him.
No, I agree. My problem with Markelle Fultz thus far has been – his demeanor on the court.
I think Embiid's gonna, like, if he makes a play, Embiid's gonna like go up to him and like shake him or something. And I think once these start having fun, like, I think there's gonna get to a point where they're gonna start having fun and you're gonna see something. But who knows? I mean, he does have a very odd demeanor, and I can see it, like, you know, in a couple months of people watching him play, it could get annoying.
He has a West Coast demeanor in Philadelphia, which does not bode well.
And he's from Baltimore. He's from like the DC area. Yeah, it's not like no from, sense. Yeah.
But that's the thing that concerns me most, because he doesn't have that killer instinct. It doesn't look like he wants to help defensively. And he has that whole woe is me where he shakes his head when, you know, something goes wrong. Where you look at Ben and Joel, and these guys, they're just winners. You know that.
Yeah.
I want to kind of wrap up our conversation too with the Sixers is, you know, after 3-4 preseason games now, we kind of talked last week about who makes the 12-man roster. And I want to just – let's do – who do you think should be the starting five? And I know we kind of talked about it in a text message today. Starting five beginning of the game, starting five, you know, last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I think your starters to start the game are probably Simmons. I mean, I think that it's probably Simmons, Fultz, Rocco, Amir Johnson, and Embiid. I think that's your starting five to start the game. I think your five to end the game right now are probably Simmons, Redick, Covington, Saric, and Embiid.
Okay.
That's my favorite lineup, that last lineup. I just think for, you know, and I think those five guys are the guys who average the most minutes per game. But I think they want Dario coming off the bench. I don't think it matters. I mean, Redick may start the season starting. I would be absolutely fine with that. I'd probably prefer that. But he'll definitely be in at the end of the games for his shooting. And his shot looks great. I mean, there's nothing like watching Simmons just fly down the court and then just dish it to a wide open Redick in the corner for a three.
No, yeah, that's where I would differ there on the starting five. I don't think Fultz should start, especially since he doesn't look healthy. I think Redick needs to be on the court to start games because the Sixers need to start a little faster than they have. So I'd like to have that extra shooting ability there early in the game. So I would go with Simmons, Redick, Rocco. Again, I probably would start Amir Johnson at the four just because he's not going to get many minutes in general. But you just start him in the game and then Joel at the five because you don't really have another four to go out there.
He's also a good, like, he's a good, like, get things going emotional player. Like, he's going to get everyone excited. He's going to make a couple hustle plays, like, set the tone for the team. I don't mind him starting at all. But I also don't think he'll play more than, you know, 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, and then I would say at the end of the game, I honestly would not be opposed. I know this might sound crazy.
I know what you're going to say.
With a Redick, Simmons, Saric, and Embiid McConnell lineup.
You were going to put McConnell in there.
Because I don't care. I know that everyone hates McConnell, and I hated McConnell for a long time. When he's in the court, this team plays better. That's just a fact of the matter. He hustles. He understands how to create space and opportunities for the other players on the court. And he's a winner. There's something about the guy.
Yeah, I mean, the only criticism of that lineup I would say is I don't think you need Simmons and McConnell on the court at the same time because Simmons hasn't demonstrated he can shoot and McConnell can't really shoot. So it's just you have two guys who have the ball in their hand when, in my eyes, I'd rather have someone who could, you know, space the floor and make a shot.
I get that. But at the same time,
that's why I don't have Covington on the court at that point in time.
But at the same time, you can get McConnell and Simmons can both get to the basket.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But, I just in those situations, I'd opt for defense and shooting. And I think Covington gives that to you better than either Simmons. Now, it would sound even crazier if you said you'd rather put McConnell instead of Simmons. That's where I thought you might have been going at first. And I was like, whoa. But, McConnell, it is a noticeable difference. I just think fit-wise, I don't know.
But sometimes it's not about fit, it's about feel.
That's fair.
And sometimes just there's a certain player who brings out the best of the other guys on the court. And McConnell seems to do that, especially with Embiid.
I mean, the other factor to consider too is, right, Dario's shot looks great. So if you do have 2 3-point shooters out there with Dario and Redick, I think that it could work. I don't know. I mean, Covington is just a very good defender too. So there's that.
I don't disagree. I think it's a very much up for debate. That's why I just wanted to kind of bring it up.
It might be a matchup thing too. I don't know. We'll see. But it might depend on who you're lining up against. So yeah.
And then another
good things for the Sixers. It's been, you know, it was painful to watch the first couple games, but you see what this team needs, and you know, it's Embiid. It's right. Yeah.
What was also interesting is Jahlil Okafor did not see playing time in the fourth quarter, and you saw how much better this team is when he's not on the floor.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's also just Embiid's just such a better player than Okafor, right?
But even when Embiid came off the court and they either put Amir Johnson on there or went small with Dario at the five, the team – Jahlil Okafor is not a winner. He's just not going to be a guy who's going to be on a winning team.
Yeah, I mean, you got to try. I think they're trying to just give him minutes to try and dump him on a team like Chicago or whatever. But, yeah, he doesn't have a huge role with this team, and I think it's evident through what we've seen so far.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sucks that he's going to take a roster spot when
– But the other guys at the bottom of the roster, like, if he takes the roster spot from Justin Anderson, I just don't really care. Like,
well, I want Justin Anderson off the team. But at this point, who are the 12 guys that you want on the roster?
All right. Is it 15? Let's count. What?
Isn't it a 12-man roster and then it's the three G League spots?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all right, so one is Embiid. Two is Simmons, three is Fultz, four is Redick, five is Johnson, six is Covington, seven's Saric, eight is McConnell, nine, Rashawn Holmes, 10. See, this is where, like, 10 to 12 is tough. 10, I guess. I think I said Rocco.
Yeah, you said Rocco.
10.
You didn't say Bayless yet. Would you put Bayless on the team?
Yeah, Bayless. Yep. Bayless. Bayless, 10. 11, Okafor. So then 12 is really Justin. I think it's Anderson. Or Stauskas. I think Korkmaz starts the year in the G League.
Yeah, and who would you go? Who would you go, Stauskas or Anderson? I would go Stauskas.
Yeah, I don't. Anderson doesn't give me a lot. He doesn't do a lot for me. But he either, I mean, he's. I think Stauskas is a better shooter, and I think that's like what you. I would prefer to have the shooting.
I'd also prefer just the hustle. I like the hustle that I see from Stauskas. Anderson just. I think it's because Anderson's short and stubby. He doesn't look like
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Like, they're both fine. It's just what skill set do you want, right? Anderson's going to give you a little more on defense, and Stauskas is going to give you more shooting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So it'll be fun to see what happens. I'm really excited that they open up next Wednesday against the Wizards on national TV.
Tough running. You got next Wednesday with the Wizards, then next Friday with the Celtics. So,
no, and the Sixers have a very, very tough opening month. So do not be surprised if they start like 3-11.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah.
People might want to freak out, but 3-11 is very realistic. They are playing. If you look at the schedule, I think they play the Rockets. They play the Celtics twice. They play. I think they even get a gold game with Golden State in there. Like, their first 14, 15 games are not easy.
Yeah, so let me just read it off real quick. So we have the Wizards, Celtics, Raptors. That's an easy potential 0-3. Pistons, Rockets, Mavs, Rockets again. Hawks, who are trash. Pacers are trash. Jazz are maybe okay. Kings are kind of trash. There's a couple winnable games in there, but then you go Warriors, Clippers. Warriors twice in a week. So that sucks.
Yeah,
I mean, the promising thing about the NBA, especially the Eastern Conference, there's so many bad teams. Like, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to win games.
We say there's bad teams too, but until we see our team play in the regular season together, we don't know officially what we have. We know Embiid.
I know. I'm just saying, dude, like, Atlanta's a dumpster fire. Chicago's a mess. The Magic aren't very good. Detroit's not going to be very good. The Pacers are garbage. Like, there's a lot of bad teams. The Knicks are a disaster, too. Like, the Eastern Conference is pretty bad. And this is the last year of the tank, so I feel like a lot of these teams, and I didn't even mention the Nets, a lot of these teams are not, they aren't incentivized to win, especially this year.
Yeah, That's a good point when you put it.
Like, regardless of what you have, right, you're going to have a shot every night against those teams. And you get to play them 3-4 times a season in the season.
Yeah, you need to win pretty much 65% of your games against, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're not going to beat Boston, Washington, Cleveland, and Toronto more than probably in half of those games. If that would be like best case scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are better teams than the Sixers right now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the more pressing topic, which would be the Eagles. So unfortunately, people won't listen to this pod probably until after the Eagles game, but we want to at least get on the record with our thoughts on the game, some predictions. Usually we recap the last game, 34-7 win, easy watching game because they got up to a 21-0 lead. I don't know. It's just good to see them take care of business against a bad Arizona team. So not a ton to say. Wentz had a good game. You know, if we see that from Wentz every week, I'll be happy.
No, you're talking to – this is one of the podcasts who criticizes Wentz the most, and that's the Carson Wentz that I love. Like, I love that Carson Wentz that we got last week. He only made a couple throws that I was like, what the fuck are you doing? He only gets like a B-plus, B-minus rating from me because I want my elite quarterback to not make those stupid mistakes where you get lucky on a dropped interception and then go back and throw in the triple coverage in the end zone. Like, that was stupid. But other than that, we've been calling for Carson to be more accurate on the deep ball, and that son of a bitch threw some beauties.
The one that I will say, to my credit, I called Aguilar as a standout performer, and damn, did he make a play. That was awesome because the catch, I mean, it was a beautiful pass, caught it right in stride, held on to the ball, and then made the guy miss like three separate times. It was great. It was great.
That was the Nelson Aguilar that Chip Kelly drafted.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
And whatever the psychiatrist this offseason to get Aguilar out of his own head, you know, kudos to them. They should probably put him in the Eagles Hall of Fame because that's unbelievable. If you were able to get Nelson Aguilar to catch the ball consistently, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you go to the defensive side of the ball, you know, not much for Arizona. Offensively, obviously, Carson Palmer is a statue. Our secondary still can't catch, but you know what? You gave up 7 points in the NFL. I'll take it.
Yeah, again, I'm still not impressed with our defensive line.
It's just hard, right? It's hard to criticize when you hold a team to 7 points. There's areas you can make questions about. But I think looking forward, it's a valid criticism of the defensive line. And again, like tonight, as we talk about the game tonight, like our defensive line's got to show up in a big way because, and I think I'm just going to jump us forward to tonight against the Panthers. You know, one of the biggest things in neutralizing Cam Newton is to hit him early. And we've got to bring pressure through our front four. And if we can get that pressure and if Cox is playing, you know, I think we can have a potential, you know, good start to the game, which we're going to need because when Cam gets on a roll, things can get really tough really quickly.
No, absolutely. And I know a lot of people have been using the excuse that Rivers and Banning had quick releases. They were getting the ball quick. Well, Cam Newton does not do that. He has a very slow release and he does not get the ball quickly. This is a team that throws the ball down the field unless they're, you know, throwing screen passes to the or swing passes to the running backs. So the defensive line needs to show up. Now, Timmy Jernigan has played all season. Other than Timmy Jernigan, I have not been impressed. But Timmy Jernigan is getting paid this offseason. That motherfucker is
playing great. And in good news for the Eagles, Ryan Khalil, the Panther center, is out. So
yes,
Cox plays. You have Cox and Jernigan. Stuff in the middle. Should be able to penetrate. I'd stack one of them right up on that son of a bitch, that center. And, I mean, we need Brandon. Like, again, we've been calling his name. Brandon Graham's got to show up. He's only got he has 3.5 sacks, but it hasn't been like an impressive 3.5.
I also think that what we saw from Vinnie Curry last week is that he's a much better pass rusher from the tackle position than he is the end position.
And that's what they've been doing. They've been moving the guys inside on third down to bring out another rusher.
So I think that I would like to see them continue to do that on third and passing downs because Vinnie Curry and – I think this is maybe why he had so much more success in the 3-4 in the two-gap technique, is that he's going against those guards who are typically a little slower.
Yeah.
And he's able to make, you know, just his quickness is better equipped to go up against those guards because he's much better rushing at the tackle position. So I would like to see them try and get the best out of Vinnie Curry by keeping him play the tackle. This is a tough game for the Eagles, though, on the defensive side of the ball, because quietly the Eagles secondary, although we've thought they've played well, I think they've given up the fourth most passing yards in the league. So, I mean, teams are moving the ball. They're not letting teams score, which is nice, and their red zone defense has been good.
Like last week, the Cardinals, I mean, they got yards in the air, but it was all like garbage time.
Yeah, but I mean, the Giants didn't get any garbage time, and the Chargers didn't get any garbage time.
Yeah, no, I know.
And they're, you know, better teams. So I would say I am concerned on that. I don't think
Fletcher. The ball, the run defense has been pretty good, knock on wood, but I mean, yeah. what it's worth, I don't know.
I don't think Fletcher plays tonight. I think there's no reason for him to play tonight. Right now, you're playing with house money, kind of. You're on a short week, this road game. I would wait and have him healthy for Monday night at home against the Redskins, which is a must-win game if you want to win the division.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that is, and like as we talk about this game in the broader context, right, it's like no one's expecting you to win if you don't beat the Panthers, who are 4-1, who just came off road wins at Detroit and at New England. If you don't beat them on a short week on the road, it's not a big deal. Like, it's you're 4-2 going into a big divisional game. You're fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you win, all of a sudden it's like, okay, wait a second. Like, these guys might be pretty damn good.
Yeah, a big if. And it matters how they win, though. It matters how they win. If they go out there and it's a sloppy performance by both teams, and, you know, it's one of those typical Thursday night games where neither team really looked prepared, and the Eagles kind of stumble into a victory, I wouldn't be as happy just because
I'll be pretty happy if we come out of this 5-1. Because if you come out of this 5-1, you have 10 days before a Monday night game at home against Washington. You win that game, all of a sudden you play the 49ers after that, and you could be looking at like 7-1.
Yeah, no, I used the wrong language there. I'll be happy. I said I won't be as impressed, I should
say. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I don't care if they go into the bye like with 6-7 wins, things would be looking good.
If they get to 5 wins tonight, that means they only need 5 more wins to make the playoffs, and that starts counting down the clock.
That means you go 5. If they get a win tonight, right, you go 500 for the rest of the year, and you're a 10-6 playoff team.
That's really important. So, offensively, I'm a little nervous. We have not played like this year. This is a defense that has a stout front seven. Now, this is a real front seven. They have two linebackers who are Pro Bowl caliber. They have Star Lutulale at the D-tackle position, who's a monster. Julius Peppers is playing like he's 27 years old. This is the test. The team does not play well without Lane Johnson. Vitae gets the start. It'll be very interesting. The Panthers are decent against the run game. They're not the Cardinals. They're not the Giants. They're not the Chargers. So will Doug give up on the running game? It'll be very interesting to see offensively how this game goes. Alshon Jeffrey, again, like we have talked about, he's not a game-changing receiver. He's been steady for the most part. Could he break open this game? The cornerbacks are probably the weakest position on the Panthers' defense. So I would like to see Alshon Jeffrey have that breakout game tonight and make a few plays.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, I do think the Eagles played a defense that was a step up last week. I think the Cardinals' defense isn't great, but they have solid players across the board, I would say, within their defense. You got Patrick Patterson and Matthew in the secondary. But Reddick's going to be a good player. Chandler Jones is a good pass rusher. I don't know. I mean, it seems like their defense is a step up from, like, what we faced in San Diego. And the Panthers are a different animal. So we'll see. I'll be curious to see how Vitae stays, you know, and plays, because obviously not having Lane is a huge loss. Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I don't know, you know, how to slice it. I think I'm most concerned. I'm actually less concerned with Vitae, and I'm more concerned with Kelce and dealing with those big guys. Because when you have the 300, 315 pound D tackles, they're the guys who bull rush Kelce and give him a hard time. So it's going to be critical for the running backs to help chip in. It's going to be critical for Wentz, you know, to audible and adjust the protection if he needs it. And it's going to be critical for Peterson in calling the plays to make sure that he's giving the help to the blocking scheme that the blocking scheme might need if the offensive line does come out and struggle against this defensive front. And then obviously also for a guy like Zach Ertz, much tougher matchup this week with the solid linebacking core of Carolina than what he's faced in the past. So you may not get the same opportunities down the field that you've had in weeks prior. But again, like, you've got your opportunities, and I think you just have to pick your places where you have advantages. And I think that's something that Wentz demonstrated he could do last night. He could identify within a formation where the advantageous matchup was, and he'd pick it apart every time. Happened with Trey Burton on Deion Buchanan, happened with Ertz, even happened with Aguilar when they came with an all-out blitz. So a lot of it does rest on Wentz's shoulders to make sure that he's doing the right thing and making the right decision out there. But it's not going to be easy. They're a good team, and it's going to be a tough game.
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at it, and this is one of those tough games because, like you said, Kelce probably is going to get manhandled for most of the game. And what's going to make the most difficult part of the running game is that, you know, if you figure to get pounded up the middle, you look to run stretch plays, you look to run sweeps, stuff of that nature. It's harder to run those against this team because they have Thomas Davis and Kuechly. So there's no easy way to run the ball against this team. Yeah. And as you alluded to, Davis, if they take away Ertz, well, that's been Wentz's safety blanket. So if he's not there, it'll be interesting to see what Wentz does with the ball. And he holds on to the ball. This is not a guy who – are we going to look at Wentz, you know, being indecisive now because he's not having a safety blanket? Does he get sacked? It's really going to be an interesting game. Short week. I don't know how much they, you know, were able to game plan for them. I think this is a game where our special teams needs to come up big. Kenyon Barner looked fantastic. He was gassed. He should have had a punt return for a touchdown last week. He was gassed by the end of it.
I know. It was a shame.
But yeah, if Kenyon Barner can flip the field again, I think that would be a really, really big help for the Eagles, because we converted – we're the best third down team in football. Carson Wentz is the best third down quarterback by 18 percentage points on third down. Those third downs are like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 way too frequently. You were not going to convert those an entire year.
Well, it's so interesting. I saw a stat, and it's like the average – so the average quarterback rating for anyone who's been – like the highest rated passers for the first 5 weeks of a season. And now I will say, to Wentz's credit, very impressive list. He was right up there. Like, the only guys on this list for highest passer rating over the last 20 years for on third down, it was like Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, and Breeze, and Wentz. Like, pretty good company. But yeah, the average passer rating went down like 25 points for the remainder of the season. Now you're only going from, you know, 130 to maybe 100. But it's still, you know, you're not going to convert. You're not going to go 11 for 12 for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns every game on third down.
No. So that's why, if you can't and be successful on offense because of those third down conversions. Now, if we're trying to go 80 yards against the Panthers defense that can get off the field, it's going to be much harder to score. So that's why that special team's giving us a short field where maybe we only have to pick up 2 first downs until we're in field goal range. That can be very helpful.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's put our money where our mouths are, I guess, and get some predictions going for tonight. I'm going to let you go first.
Well, the Eagles have 2/3 of the wins I thought they would have at the end of the year.
This logic may run out very soon for you.
Yes. So, I mean, my foot is in my mouth. I am usually spot on with the Eagles over the years and knowing this team. And I have been very surprised by the play. Now, granted, we haven't played really great teams, but we're taking care of business, which is what you have to do if you have bad teams on your schedule.
And your one, like, your one loss all year, right, is against the team that's clearly playing the best in the NFL right now. So
yeah, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
So I like the Panthers tonight. I do think the Panthers are just a better team than the Eagles right now because the Eagles' defense is not healthy. And the offense, you know, not having Lane Johnson, I think, is really going to be a factor tonight. I like the Panthers 24, Eagles 16.
Yeah, I think this is a game where if it was a Thursday night game in Philly, the Eagles win.
Absolutely.
Since it's Thursday night in Carolina, I tend to think Carolina's going to win. I actually think it's going to be like 31 to 21. Yeah.
You think defense isn't going to show up tonight?
Well, I just think, right, I think we'll know. I think it could be close. But I just don't – if Cox doesn't play, right, I just don't have the faith in the defensive line. And I think if you let Cam get going – they've played really well. I mean, they played great the last 2 weeks. So,
no, we'll absolutely.
See. I mean, on the other, they've given up. You know, they've given up points. They've given up points the last couple of weeks. But they're such Carolina's a weird team. Like, you know, they go from scoring nine to beating the Bills 9-3, and then losing to the Saints to going on the road and beating New England and beating Detroit. So, like, I don't know. They could just come out as like the bad Panthers. I'm going to say they come out as the good Panthers and beat us, but I don't think I'll go out of this game like upset about it in terms of how it projects for the Eagles moving forward.
No, absolutely. 4-2, 5-1, either way, the Eagles are primed for the division win still. They should still win this division at this point in the season.
Completely agree. All right, so again, what we always do every week, player of the game, if the Eagles are to win.
If the Eagles are to win, I'm going to go player of the game, Jordan Hicks.
Okay.
I think defensively, you have to do a lot of spying of Cam Newton. And if he's able to corral Cam in a bubble and not let him really escape out of the pocket and make throws down the field, I think that's the way the Eagles win this game. Cam will throw interceptions too. Yes, if our team catches them. Patrick Robinson, I'm talking to you. So I think Jordan Hicks would be the player of the game if the Eagles win this game.
Yeah, I think if the Eagles win, player of the game's Wentz.
And you take the easy route every week.
I went Aguilar last week.
That's an easy pick. You knew he was going to have a big game.
If Wentz went, like, this is the kind of game where you start looking at a quarterback and saying, like, all right, that's like a statement win for Wentz. Beating Cam Newton in his own house on a short week without your starting, you know, Pro Bowl caliber tackle. I think if they win, and I'm not predicting another win, but I'm saying if they win, he's probably gonna have an awesome game.
No, I don't disagree with you there.
It was between Wentz and Barner. And it was very close because it depends on how they win, right? If they win decisively, it's because of Wentz. But if they win in like a close game, it's because Barner made something happen on special teams.
No, I wouldn't be – I would love to see Barner win player of the game. That would not be a problem with me.
Kicked like 7 field goals.
I'd expect Elliott to be busy. I expect him to hit at least 3 tonight.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited, though. It's exciting. 4-1 versus 4-1 on a Thursday night.
Yeah, we got game time in less than an hour.
It kind of suck that we go 2 straight Sundays without the Eagles.
Yeah, and I mean, this weekend I have no Penn State to hang me over either. So, yeah, it's going to be rough.
Yeah. So hopefully the Birds can – and pull out a W. Keep us going.
The birds might want to look halfway decent tonight, because if they don't, man, they got a long ways on sports talk radio to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get all week next week. Ugh. Yeah, so let's go birds. Let's get out of here. We're going to be back next week. We're going to talk Eagles. We're going to talk Sixers. We didn't catch the Flyers. We'll probably hit the Flyers this week, this coming week, too. But, yeah, I think for now, you know, go birds. We got a little bit more than an hour to game time. Let's hope that next time we're talking, the Eagles are 5-1. Joel Embiid is still crushing it. And, yeah.
No, absolutely. I do want to give one shout out. Happy 62nd birthday to Gary Brignola.
Woo, happy birthday, Mr. Briggs.
Best dad in the world. He's the reason that I'm an Eagles fan. He's the reason I've gone to I don't even know how many Eagles games at this point in my life, due to our season tickets. So thank you, Dad. You're the best. So that is my shout out for the week.
Great shout out. I am not even going to try and top it. All right, let's get out of here.
All right, take care. And as always, please
go birds.
Go birds. I was going to say subscribe to Pass the Mic on iTunes.
All right, we're